We start our third and final hour. Welcome back. I said a busy show, and that's what that is. I've already had three interviews, and I'm efforting a fourth, which I will have momentarily. Jimmy Moreland of the Washington football team is scheduled to join me in a moment. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, telephone number is toll-free, and that number is good wherever you are, 1-800-636-8686. But first things first, as promised, we are joined by a cornerback for the Washington football team. Had a big game in week one, six tackles, a pass defensed, an INT in Sunday's win over Philadelphia. He was an All-American and a conference defensive player of the year at James Madison. He is JMU's all-time leader in picks and interceptions for a touchdown. He was taken 227th overall in 2019. Washington, 1-0 in first, and they've got a big one at Arizona on Sunday. Jimmy Moreland is my guest. Jimmy, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
Good.
Thanks for having me as well.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Appreciate you. All right, so you're 1-0. You're in first in the NFC East. I know you're already focused on Arizona, but how good did it feel to start the season with a win the way you guys did?
No, it's a great feeling. You know, with the divisional win as well. You know, a big win on our hands. You know, we got one up on the Eagles now. You know, we played twice a year. And now we're just on to the Cardinals right now.
So, listen, I know you're on to the Cardinals. One more thought about that game, though, because you fall behind 17-0 in the first half. Things were not looking great. But you dig deep. You come back. You find a way to win 27-17. Like, how were you able to turn that thing around? And what's it say about that group that nobody folded after a tough start?
No, attitude and effort. You know, we come in and practice and, you know, prepare to play just like how them guys were. You know, down 17-0, you know, it can be a long – we can hang our hats up and say and give up, you know, and it's going to be a long game for us. But, you know, we didn't do that. We decided we wanted to put our big boy pads on and show the world and show the whole NFL that the new Washington football team wasn't going out like that. So, you know, with that being said, guys got an attitude for where we didn't want to give up. As a team, came back in the second half. During the halftime speech, you know, Dwayne Haskins gave a bright speech to us, and you know, it made us feel like we had to be behind him and support him as well. So it was a big win for us.
Huge win. Jimmy Moreland, my guest. And, of course, Haskins did the speech because Ron Rivera had to get that IV. Can you kind of let us in? Like, what did the quarterback say to you guys at halftime?
You know, just that last year it was in the same position, you know, but it was flipped. You know, we was up and they was down. You know, last year they came back and beat us. So, you know, that season was all that. Just like that, how I said it was, he came in, he gave us a rundown. We can't be like basically little brother and big brother. So, you know, we had to really put our pants on and show the Philadelphia Eagles like we're here this season and ready to play.
Jimmy Moreland is joining us. I mentioned you had a big game on Philly's second possession of the second half. Carson Wentz drops back on first down. You had an absolutely perfect break on the ball. You pick it off. You return it 32 yards. Take me through the play. What did you see on that play, and how good did it feel to come up with that INT in that moment?
You know, what I saw the play, you know, we was on one of our zone coverages. Eyes back on the quarterback. As one of the DB coaches, they wanted us to be playmakers. So I saw a run combination that I was familiar with, you know, and quarterback was looking at me. So, you know, I decided to play him and to trust my instincts, you know, and that's what I went and did. Obviously, it was a big play for us, and it was an amazing lift off my shoulders for being my first interception.
I was going to say, now, it was a big play, but you made a lot of big plays in college. You had 18 interceptions in college. How did it feel to get your first one in the NFL?
It feel like all the other ones in college. You know, everyone I touch, you know, I feel great about. You know, this one is the first one. You know, so I'm gonna cherish it a little bit more. But I'm looking forward to the next one.
Jimmy Moreland with the Washington football team joining us. You know, when you talk about that defense, I'm curious, how fired up are you when you see them getting after the quarterback the way they do? How good is that front seven, and then how does that impact your job in the secondary?
It impacts my job a lot. You know, with the big guys rushing, you know, and us playing in the back end, you know, we you got to work as one whole unit. You know, the pressure is not going to get up. The coverage is not good. And the coverage never going to be able to make no plays if the pressure is not good. So, you know, we worked as a tight unit. And, you know, seeing those guys in front of me, seeing what the guys I do got in front of me, knowing who they are and the potential they have, it brings a lot of stress relief on the secondary.
You know, and then you've got guys on your team talking about you. For instance, back in May, Landon Collins was asked which player was primed for a breakout season. He mentioned you multiple times, which is really high praise going into your second season. What did it mean to earn that kind of trust and confidence from somebody like Landon Collins?
You know, most of the people who saw me practice and play would say the same thing, you know, but because the type of energy and effort I bring to the field. I do this. I love playing a game of football, you know. So I love being around the fellas. You know, Landon Collins, you know, when he came in, he came in the same year I came in, but he came from the Giants and I came from college. So, you know, seeing that a player who's already been in the league, who already it is probably one of the top guys in his position, you know, talk about you. It shows you that you're putting in the effort, the time, and you got the craft and skills to be here on the level.
Jimmy Moreland is joining us for a few more moments. You know, we talked about Ron Rivera. He comes in as head coach, and then he wants to improve the culture, and then you find out that he's diagnosed with cancer. What was it like to hear that news, and how did you and the team respond to it?
You know, hearing that news from anybody would be, you know, a sad moment. You know, but he's a hard-fought good dude. You know, I had one of these friends of mine who went through the same one, not the same cancer, but one of these chemo treatments. And you know, for those people who are going through that, you know, it drains them a lot. You know, and we just here praying for them, and you know, anything we can do to help Ron Rivera, you know, we want to, but you know, most we can do right now is pray. So, you know, I pray every day for him, you know, and I just, you know, really pray for the week as a whole world.
You're right about that guy. He is a tough, tough dude, a really tough dude. Jimmy Moreland's joining us. Now, you're known as the People's Corner, for those who do not know. How did that nickname come to be, and how much pride do you take in that?
I really don't know how the nickname came to be, but, you know, I just, like you know, and jam you. I had, my name was Jimmy F. Moreland, you know. So, I love my fans. You know, I love the support I get from my fans and you know, all the nicknames. It really don't matter to me what they call me. Just as long as I'm out here being able to put my best out on the field for them and, you know, and show them that, you know, with their support, I got their support behind me and they got my support behind them.
All right, so before I let you go, you're getting ready for Arizona, which means you're getting ready and preparing for Kyler Murray. Like, when you watch this guy in film, what sticks out to you the most, and what is the key to stopping him in their offense?
His will to work. His will to try to extend the plays. He wanted to put his team in the best position, you know, and his, like I said, his work ethic. You know, you can tell he really works at his game. You know, he's coming along real well. You know, we got a big task in our hands. And you know, we're looking forward to it.
Jimmy, last thought. You had a daughter in the off season. What has that been like? How much has she changed your life?
You know, it never happens. Many people can't say until they have a child. But you know, once you have that first child, it brings a lot of joy, and then you see life as a different perspective because you have a mouth to feed. You have a person that depends on you. That she don't even know she depends on you yet until she get older. So, you know, you got to be there to support your mom. I got to be there to support her, you know. And as a whole, like I said, until you have a baby, you everybody will understand the different feeling of it.
He is a cornerback for the Washington football team. That's well said. You don't know it until you go through it. Six tackles. He had a pass defense and the INT in Sunday's win over Philadelphia. Washington is 1-0. They're at Arizona on Sunday. Jimmy, great to have you on. Thanks so much. Let's do it again soon.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me and have a nice day.
You have a great day. Have a great day if you want to. Jimmy Moreland, nice player. Great comeback win for them. I'll admit, I thought that game was over at 17-0. I think most people did, except for those 53 guys. And then they come back and they beat Philadelphia. Not only come back from a 17-point deficit, but come back from a 17-point deficit against a divisional rival. That was a huge win for them. And now they've got Arizona coming up next, which is going to be a major challenge. Kyler Murray, in fact, is one of my topics for the Sunday show on the NFL on CBS. So without giving you my take, I will tell you that's one of the topics. Kyler Murray. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. You want to make sure you visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Our phone lines are open. Four interviews today, and now they're done. Really quickly, Jamie in Green Bay tweets, Tim Connolly is definitely on a path to asking about Toby in Houston the next time he's on. That's good. That's good. So he's come on twice this week. He ended the first interview by referencing softball guy. And then he ended today's interview by saying he got a bunch of texts about softball guy, but somebody tipped him off to gym guy. And that guy right there said, man, Toby in Houston can't be far off. If they keep winning, if they win a championship, that probably will come up. Because you know he'll come back on. Evan in Oregon tweets, War Rich Flores wearing one of those long CVS receipts as a tie to Silk's campaign events.
Bruh.
Did I miss the memo? Did he get evicted? Does he not have a roof over his head? One for three C1 tweets, War Rich interviewing with Fox for a golf analyst job, signed Jay Klatt. Listen, man, you're barking up the wrong freaking tree with all this Joel Klatt stuff. Joel Klatt is a pro. Joel Klatt is extremely well thought of and respected in this here jungle. Joel Klatt and I belong to the same club. I don't play, but we belong to the same club here in California. You're barking up the wrong tree with that stuff. Yeah, and Fox no longer has golf. Who cares? When have you heard me take unsolicited, unwarranted runs at other networks and talent? Almost never. So where is all this coming from? 1-800-636-8686. Hopefully you're better on the phones. It's kind of weird that way. Some days, social media is fine. Your clones are pretty respectful, somewhat responsible. And then the calls suck. Some days the calls are pretty good and I can't find a good tweet to read. Just really depends. I'm looking for consistency. How many times have you heard athletes or coaches come on this program and say the key to everything really is consistency? The way you show up every single day. There are going to be days where you feel like crap. Doesn't matter. Be consistent. There are going to be days where you don't want to go to work. Doesn't matter. Be consistent. Every single day in what you do. Clones. You're consistent, but in all the wrong ways. Come on, you can do better. Like, as an example, Ritt got bumped up to the front row and put a tie on today. That's a guy who's going all in. All in, all day, every day, no days off. It's the little things, man. Did you tie that thing yourself? Did you get the tutorial on YouTube first? Actually, I'm going to put on a tie for the first time in a long time. Come this Sunday. I can't remember the last time I put on a tie. I'll suit up for it. All right, when we return, I want to reset the conversation I had with Nick Hardwick. That is episode 143 of the Jim Rome podcast. It is live. Don't listen to it right now. Look for it after the program or while you're at the gym, during your commute, over the weekend. It's a great conversation.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, for all your car care needs. We are close, we are convenient, we are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people that you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, then. Still ahead, your phone calls. However, let's talk about tonight's matchup. Already Thursday. We've got a Thursday night matchup. Critical game already. Got a question for you. What's the best way to get a 38-6 ass-kicking kind of a taste out of your mouth? Of course, by having the Bengals come to town the following Thursday night. Yeah, just kidding, Bengals fan. Kind of. Maybe. Actually, the jury is still out. The jury is still out because they look pretty good. Joe Burrow looked great. And then they went all bungles with it at the end of week one when they missed a game-tying field goal against the Bolts. So I'm not exactly sure who or what they are yet. Then again, how can I really take a complete run at the Bengals when they gave the Bolts all they could handle and America's team, the Cleveland Browns, got their brains beaten in by the Ravens? Man, it was bad. And it was bad. It was really bad. There is no sugarcoating that. That was a nice, swift ass-kicking, as my guy, the late Pat Tillman, would say.
Nice, swift ass-kicking.
All right, so yes, I certainly have hyped the Browns. Yes, I will own hyping the Browns. Yes, the preseason hype so far has not materialized into anything positive. Certainly not in an opening season win. That would be 16 season openers in a row that the Browns have lost. If you're keeping track, just know that I am not. Because like I've said all offseason, this is not your same Brown squad. Listen, Baltimore is a damn good football team. Really good. Honestly, I could not think of a worse way for the Browns to open up their season than to have to go up against a team like Baltimore. A squad coming off a 14-win season that's bent, pissed off at the world, and we're ready to come out of the gates fighting after how their season ended against Tennessee in the postseason. A team that added a few pieces and has a Lombardi on their mind right now. The Browns, they're not in that same place. That's not their story. Not yet. And they've got so many moving parts from their entire new coaching staff. They've got new playbooks. They have an infusion of new talent. You knew it was going to take them a little bit of time to get going. And then you add to that fact, no normal minicamps or OTAs or preseason games. I mean, just not a good time to go through all that change. Granted, everybody's dealing with the same problems. I'm not looking to make excuses. I'm just saying that in dealing with all those same issues, it's even more challenging when you've got a new coaching staff. And even more challenging when you've got the pandemic. You have those issues, you have a new coaching staff, and you have an extremely motivated 14-win team looking at you. Now, I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to hear it, and I know you don't believe it, but I still believe in the Browns. And whether you like it or not, it's just going to take a minute or two to get this thing going. Like, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, jack wagons. So, what's that mean for tonight? I'm actually pretty hyped on tonight's game. We get Baker v. Burrow, a couple of really talented young dudes who should be battling each other and trying to plant their respective flags on each other's field. But tonight's game I actually see being decided by the big dudes up front, by the dudes in the trenches. New Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski was brought to town in part because of his running game. You know, that famous zone scheme that's running rampant across the NFL right now. That's where this guy lives. The Browns are all in on that right now. They upgraded their tackles this offseason when they got rid of that drug trafficker, alleged drug trafficker / turnstile. Nothing alleged about that. Greg Robinson. They signed Jack Conklin. They drafted Jedrick Willis in the first round. And they did those things to help punish dudes on the ground and protect Baker and try to keep him clean in the pocket. But as I said, that system starts on the ground with that outside zone. You know, and you see what they do. They run their play action bootleg off it. A lot of play action. Everything starts with the running game, which is good. Because then Baker doesn't have to do everything by himself or think that he has to do everything by himself. Didn't work last week because they got into a hole and they had to abandon it. That's not what they want to do. Tonight, I would expect a whole hell of a lot of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I mean, it's not only what the Browns want to do, but the Bengals right now are banged up on that line. No Geno Atkins, no Mike Daniels tonight, a couple of stout dudes who could swallow people up, and they're not having them. They're not going to have them at their disposal. So you've got Chubb and you've got Hunt. I'm going to argue that the two of them together are the best tandem backs in the NFL. Yeah, I said that too. The best tandem backs in the NFL. I'd even go as far as to say potentially one of the best tandem backs or pairs that we've seen in a long time. I mean, literally, I cannot say enough about Nick Chubb. I can't say enough about this guy. They've got so many weapons that Chubb gets lost in the shuffle. But I'm talking about a guy who, like, legitimately is top five in the NFL. Legitimately a top five back. And Hunt, like, good luck to that young Cincinnati linebacking crew on trying to flank him out of the backfield. He's going to get his. Last thing they want to have is a linebacker on that guy. So Baker and Odell were not on the same page in week one. Another big problem. I understand many of you started the eye rolling right away when you saw that. But again, I'm going to say just a little bit of patience. No, that was not a good week for either one of them. But if they can get their running game going, if they don't fall behind early, if they can keep that Bengals defense offense, it's going to open up things for Baker. And yeah, you're probably saying, Rome, if they're all that, man, you're working awfully hard to make an argument for them against the Bengals. Fair enough. I am, but I also know this. The Bengals don't have anybody that can check Odell. To be honest, I don't think the Bengals have anybody who can check Jarvis Landry or Austin Hooper either. But they do have the advantage of these guys not really being in sync or in rhythm. What I'm saying for the Browns offense is it's mostly about the clock.
The clock.
Got to spend a little bit of clock. They need a little more time. They haven't had enough of that yet. What I'm saying is I'm not giving up on these guys. Now, for the Bengals, on the flip side of that, if they're going to get that win, they need another big, big day from Joe Burrow. I think the kid is special. I really do. I think that there are no sure things when it comes to young quarterbacking in the NFL. Ask the Jets. They thought the other guy was Sam Darnold, and they may or may not. Joe Burrow has played only one NFL game. I just think this kid's really different. I think this cat is really, really different. We saw what he did in college. Historical greatness. I think that it's going to translate to the NFL. If I could buy stock in his career, I'd load the hell up. And I think he's going to look good again tonight. But his biggest issue right now, the guys in front of him. Does he have enough help in front of him? Can the guys in front of him keep him upright? Because he's got weapons, lots of them. Joe Mixon, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, even John Ross. But those weapons don't mean anything if the guys up front do not protect him. We've seen horrible lines ruin some pretty talented dudes. And frankly, right now, this line is not good. Joey Bosa and company got to Burrow often last week. And now the Browns are going to raise that Bosa and company with a Myles Garrett and his crew. You know Garrett's going to eat. He's going to get his. He's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate and will be for the next several seasons. So you better be running a couple of guys at him. So, Bengals fan, if I want to be objective and I want to make an argument for you, if you can keep Miles off of Burrow tonight, you've got a shot. Because that Browns secondary is banged up right now. No Greedy Williams, no Kevin Johnson. If Joe can get it going, you've got to look at this thing. And if you've got to look at this thing and you finish this thing, all hell is going to break loose for the Browns. It's going to be fun. And it's so good to have ball back. Even on a Thursday night, it is good to have ball back. Who are you taking? America's team or the Bengals? 1-800-636-8686. And one honest question. Did you really think that I was going to jump off of America team, the bandwagon, after only 1 week? Come on. If so, I would like to quote the legendary play-by-play man that is Alvin DeLauro and quote him as saying, get that bleep out of here.
Get that out of here.
You all ridiculous.
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 I think, like, Alvin gave himself a day off after that. He was so happy with himself yesterday for that he just decided not to come to work today.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Get that out of here.
When we return, one last segment, and what I still want to get to. Dodgers, Yankees, like it or not, here they both come. Jets ownership now trying to hype up their coach. And your telephone calls. You know the number. Use it. Here is your sports update. Here is... So, a ton of you can't seem to understand why I'm still rolling with the Browns. Some of these tweets are pretty funny. Dear Jim, what on God's green earth do the Browns have on you? That's the only logical way I can imagine why you are still hyping them as America's team. They must have some inventory on the skeletons in your closet for you to be blindly hyping a team that is garbage.
Garbage!
James in Tucson. All right, so to answer the question, what do they have on me? Nothing. Nothing. I'm not saying that there aren't skeletons. We all have skeletons. I'm saying that the Browns don't have them on me. They've got nothing on me except lots of talent. Unfulfilled talent at this point. Hey, look, I'm not like a lot of other people. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I've been riding with these guys. I still believe in these guys. And believe me, when I see something and the time comes, I will own it. And be accountable for it and be responsible for it and say, man, the hell was I thinking? Why did I go down that road with them? Why did I not jump out of that moving car at some point? Because I haven't seen any reason to do so yet. If and when the time comes, then I'll do so. This guy at NM State Flush tweets, at least you are going down with the sinking ship. Hashtag Browns suck. Rome, the Browns look just as terrible in week one as they did when that bumbling fool, Freddie Kitchens, was barking play calls with a mouth jammed full of cold cuts. The Bengals are a work in progress, but the Browns are a stinking, burning dumpster. Matt in Vancouver, fair? That's all fair. Literally, that's all fair. Yeah, man, they look like hell in week one. They could not have looked any worse in week one. I'm owning that. That could not have gone any worse for them, nor any better for the Ravens. I'm just saying that the Ravens were the last team they wanted to see in week one.
Step your game
up. A team
up.
Coming off a 14-win season with the MVP, who's better now than he was then, and an extraordinarily motivated MVP. Going up against a team that's got a new coaching staff, a new scheme, coming off the pandemic. Lots of moving parts. And they ran into a buzzsaw and they got their asses kicked. Fair enough. It's all true. I'm saying I'm not giving up on these guys yet. I need a little more time. They need a little more time. It's just one game.
Oh my God, this team sucks.
That might be the refrain tomorrow. Hey, listen. If the Bengals punch them in the face, my tone may change a little bit. But let's make sure they punch them in the face first. I'm not jumping ship after 1 week. It's not the way I'm built. It's not what I'm about. I mean, how would that look? I'm sitting here banging the drum as hard as I possibly can, and they get knocked out. Happens to us all. Everybody gets their ass kicked at some point. Let's see how they look tonight. Jaime, after all these years, it's as if you talk about them enough and long enough, they'll eventually be good. Stephen S.A., unwar Jimmo's fascination with that dumpster fire of a team and city. Talent or no talent? Keep coming. Keep coming. I'm not giving up on these guys. Not yet, I'm not. 1-800-636-8686. Let's see what happens tonight. Bengals, Browns. Anybody else? Anybody else want to tell me how stupid I am and how bad I look? I'm here for it. Just know that if they play to expectation tonight, you'll be hearing about it tomorrow. All right, so I got some bad news for you. Bad news if you happen to hate big market, super rich, perennial powerhouse baseball teams. because the Dodgers and the Yankees are rolling and they're both ripping the headlines heading into the postseason. Speaking of which, absolutely no surprise to anybody at all that the Dodgers became the first team in this bizarre pandemic to clinch a playoff spot. And they did so with 10 games to spare, which in a 60-game season truly is, to quote a phrase, ridiculous.
Pops up the first pitch, left side, and this should do it. Max Muncy's there. He's got it. And the Dodgers say to the Padres, not so fast. After San Diego takes the first game of the series to pull to within 1.5, the Dodgers take games 2 and 3 to win the series and clinch a spot in the postseason.
All right, so there you go.
Ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
8th straight year they're in. 3rd longest streak in the history of the game. For how different the pandemic has made everything for everybody, one thing does not change. The Dodgers are still going to go dancing. At this time, it comes at the expense of the Padres, who watched that series and most likely the division itself slip away from them when they drop the final 2 games. But both are going to be there in October. That is a lock. Hopefully they run into each other again, because the bad blood is starting to boil over. Remember on Monday, Trent Grisham took Clayton Kershaw 400 feet out to Souvenir City. He admired his work. He spun around. He airmailed his lumber. And he mother bleeped the Dodgers on his stroll around the bases. That did not sit well with any of them, especially Doc Roberts. And Skip let everybody know about that. Fast forward to yesterday. Dodgers pitcher Dustin May struck out the same Grisham swinging on 100-mile-per-hour gas. He then returned a bevy of his own F-bombs as he walked right back to the dugout.
Swing and a miss and a strikeout. A hundy
and some F-bombs. In case you missed it, this is the actual transcript from Dustin May. F yeah. F. F.
Swing and a miss.
So obviously the reaction from May was a carryover from Monday night, and it was most definitely directed at Grisham. And I'm here for it. I'm all about it. Because you know what's better than throwing 100 at somebody's head and honoring some stupid and potentially lethal code? Throwing 100 at the catcher's glove and sending a dude back to the bench to grab some pine. Dodgers 7, Padres 5. And again, wouldn't it be great if these two squads got together again with everything on the line? I could watch that matchup all day long. Then back over on the East Coast, the big bad Yankees picked up right where they left off on Tuesday, massacring the Blue Jays 13-2 on 7 long balls. 7. 3 of them coming from their number 9 hitter, Kyle Higashioka.
Here is Higashioka. Higgy swings and wallops one to deep center. Back goes Grichak on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. Higashioka, the home run stroker. And getting Higgy with it. Swung on and hit in the air to left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. He's hit his 2nd home run of the night. Higashioka, the home run stroker, and getting Higgy with it.
High fly ball by Higashioka, deep to right field. Oh, yes, Higgy does it 3 times. Another home run for Higashioka, and it's 13-1 Yankees.
Man, how embarrassing is that? When your backup catcher and number 9 hitter is jumping ship on you 3 times in a major league game. So that makes 7 in a row for the Bombers. And just like that, they've gone from nearly gagging the final playoff spot in the American League to moving within 3 games of the division and a virtual lock in October. And the last 2 against the Blue Jays have been an absolute slaughter fest. 20-6 on Tuesday, 13-2 last night. The run differential during the streak overall has been absurd. 61-13. 61-13 over those 7 games. You might want to save some for the postseason, fellas. I mean, what a weird roller coaster ride for the Pinstripes this year. They bust out of the gates, 16-6. They look unbeatable. Then they lose Judge, and they lose Stanton, and then they lose 15 of 20. matching their worst stretch in franchise history, only to get a surprise visit from Brian Cashman to a tent in Buffalo. It better late than never. Whatever Cash said must have worked. Because besides Aroldis Chapman allegedly crapping himself on the mound this past Saturday, it has been nothing but roses and clean underwear. Seven straight wins for the Yanks. DJ LeMahieu homered off the slowest pitch ever recorded. Their number nine hitter, a backup catcher, is raking like Baroid himself. Judge is back. The Yanks appear to be peaking at just the right time. So like I said, what that means is there's bad news if you hate the usual suspects. Because the Dodgers and the Bombers are kicking ass, they're taking names, and they're right where they want to be. Playing good ball when it matters most. Sorry about that. And yeah, I was throwing dirt on the Yankees when they had lost 15-20. And they're back. Let's see. I'm thinking about going to the phones. Let's go to New York. In market, on topic, we go to New York. Woody, what's going on? Good to have you.
Jimmy, thanks for the vine. Well, when I called in last week, the Yankees were looking a lot more like the Stankies. We were definitely taking a nosedive. Things were just absolutely horrendous. The closing was horrible. The hitting was horrible. I mean, it was just never ending. Boom. We turn it around. Cole's looking fantastic. The glass towers have returned. Guys are hitting again. Even some of the bottom of the lineup guys are hitting, which I also killed. And, you know, we seem to have righted the ship, which I'm extremely happy about. The only thing still not looking so good is our catcher. I mean, he's just still horrible. I mean, they didn't even let him catch last night for Cole, so that could be, you know, a little future action for him. He could be losing his good graces with the organization, but we'll certainly have to see. But I'm extremely pleased, and, you know, this is how baseball is sometimes. You get on a hot streak, you get on a bad streak. That's just the way the game is. But I'm excited. We're looking good for the playoffs. I like it. We're kind of rolling.
Let me jump in there, Woody. I appreciate you. Thank you. You can call anytime you want. Like, essentially, you're owning what you said about the team, and essentially, I'm owning what I said about the team because I was throwing dirt on them when they were losing 15-20. And they did get a turnaround. Like, Cash never does that. Cash had gone over a decade without addressing the team in a manner like that. And he went to Buffalo to have a sit-down with them. And it got windy, and he had to wait, and they went to a tent. But whatever he said worked. And you're right. All of a sudden, they're looking much better. They're looking much better in the bullpen. The, quote, glass towers are back doing what they do. The guy you were talking about, your catcher, Gary Sanchez. What, you're concerned about him hitting a .132? I wouldn't sweat that. Not when you've got Higgy backing him up and jumping ship three times. Not when you got a guy like that getting Higgy with it.
Here is Higashioka. Higgy swings and wallops one to deep center. Back goes Grichak on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. Higashioka, the home run stroker. And getting Higgy with it.
No doubt. They are looking much better. Dell's semi-annual sale is up with 45% off business laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors along with servers and electronics, all with free shipping. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals. They are the sponsor of The Huge Call, and today we have one.
The six-time Super Bowl champ morphed into a spoiled, disgruntled, and bitter teenager after a pick six in an open season loss to New Orleans? Are you freaking kidding me? I guess the Brady Gronk awkward laugh fest is over after just one game. I can see him now locked in his room, curled up in the corner, crying uncontrollably in one of his old Pats jerseys, refusing to come out for dinner. He may even be on a hunger strike, Jim, until his 7.7 million Insta followers all message him to hold his virtual hand and tell him he is still the best. Tommy, it's just one game. Not to mention, you're 43 years old, bro. Nobody beats age, not even you. So quit being such a self-involved jackwagon. Get out of your room, wipe your tears off, and boss the F up. Go to your nearest Dick's True Value hardware store, buy a master lock for your trophy case, because you will not be adding to it. Wore Ritz 1984 prom gear, wore Hawk in his clean-cut new Paris Island Boot Camp regulation haircut, and lastly, Jim, and most importantly, unwore Jerome and Houston's brain cell destructive jungle calls.
Here's some data for you. Chris in Southeast Wisconsin is 6 for 6. Six racked calls. I'm going to be really interested to see what he does on the day of the smack-off. He's already in. My thanks to our guests, all four of them. Thank you for listening. You have a great day. Make sure you come strong. Finish the week strong. See you tomorrow. We're out.